When you get to the feet of Jesus, things happen. Yeah. You and I worship at His feet. Amen. Praise the Lord. Man, I've been encouraged today through the worship time, through all that God's done today. How many of you glad you could already walk out and say God's been good to you? Amen. If you have your Bible, I want you to go to Jeremiah chapter number 1. And I'm going to share just a quick thought with us this morning. Pray it'll be an encouragement to you. And like I said, I just want to take and be a help to you and a blessing to you this morning as much as I can. And the way we get encouraged is from the Word of God. Amen. The way we get our life changed is from His Word. And I want to just take a few moments out of the book of Jeremiah here. I'll give you a minute to get there. And while you're turning, just want to kind of give you a little bit of background about Jeremiah here. God's going to call Jeremiah out. What He's going to do is He is actually taking, He's being called out and He's being sent to Judah to warn them of God's judgment to come. And God took and He's going to take and let him know that He's going to be a prophet to send to Judah, which the message that He has is not the greatest message if you're on the other side of it, of judgment. And how many of you know that the message still is that God's going to put all things back in order? How many of you know you're not going to outlive the judgment of God? But how many of you are thankful for the grace of God? Amen. That you and I, thank God, has been saved by the grace of God. But Jeremiah's message was judgment coming for Judah. Now, he didn't know that. He's fixing to be called out. We're going to see that just in a moment. And God's going to take and send him to Judah. And he's going to be basically a messenger that never has any converts. He's going to give his life for 40-plus years in doing what God has called him to do and feeling discouraged about it. Well, you ever been there? He's going to be faithful to minister, all right, do what God's called him to do, but yet Jeremiah, God even tells him not to even be married. He's going to have to do it alone, but yet he's not alone. He never has any children, but yet he's under that burden and that responsibility to go share God's message no matter what comes into his life, no matter the disappointments. And just for sake of time, you study the book of Jeremiah, he gets flogged, he gets put in prison. I mean, he has some terrible things happen to him. Well, I have to remind myself as a child of God, the Bible said that those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know what that tells me when I'm going through some hardships and some persecution? Praise God, I'm right where I need to be with Jesus. Amen. Jesus even said that. But yet we see Jeremiah, he has no idea what's coming in his life. But yet God's going to call him out to be used of the Lord in a great way. All his responsibility is to do is to be faithful to what God called him to do. How many of you realize this morning that's all God asked for us? It's faithfulness to the call that He's placed in our life, which is a call to be a disciple of Christ, a call to send the message of the gospel to the world. When you and I got saved, guess what He did? He went ahead and put purpose in your life to be a messenger of the good grace of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You sit here today and maybe you sit here as a Christian and you feel like you have no purpose. I have to tell you today, you do have purpose. How many of you breathing? If you're not, you're in bad trouble, all right? If you're breathing and you're saved by the grace of God, don't ever let the devil tell you you have no purpose in your life. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your upbringing. It doesn't matter how many flaws or how many chains we've sung a while ago that you've been chained to. I got news for you and to myself. I'm saved by the grace of God and I have purpose and you have purpose in your life. No matter what the devil says. But how many of you failed along the way to realize that you do have purpose? We're no different than Jeremiah, and I'm going to read a few verses, and hopefully they'll put them up on the screen, starting with verse number 1. If you're there, holler amen. Y'all can do better than that. If you're there, holler amen. Do it one more time. Praise the Lord. I like it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some of you finally got happy in church. Look at chapter number 1, verse 1. The Bible said, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priest, that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, under the carrying away of Jerusalem, captive in the fifth month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, he said, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Do y'all see that God's coming to Jeremiah and he's speaking to him? The Bible said that the word of the Lord came unto me, and even Jeremiah's writing this, and he said, this is what God said. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, he said, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, you ought to mark that in your Bible, because we're going to get back to that. You're going to have to get back to that sometimes in your life too. But I'm going to talk about it here in a moment. Notice what Jeremiah says. How many of you believe that when God said this right here, God was putting purpose in Jeremiah's life? Come on, y'all talk to me. How many of you know the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah? God was speaking purpose into his life. But if you read that first verse, you'll find that Jeremiah was a son, alright? His father was a priest. Now I'm going to go right here just by way of introduction. May I say to you, if you're ever going to have an encounter with the Lord, it's going to have to be you and him, and you can't base that off of your family's past. In other words, Jeremiah had a personal relationship with God, and before you and I ever had any purpose in our life, my purpose doesn't come from my background of who I used to be as far as a Westmoreland or a Westmoreland. It's according on if you got money or not. And Westmorelands have money and Westmorelands don't. I'm a Westmoreland. You'll get that later. But my purpose didn't come from my mother. My purpose didn't come from my earthly father. My purpose didn't come out of the background that brought me to where I'm at today. My purpose and your purpose came when Almighty God came by and spoke our name that day and saved us by His grace. Somebody say amen. But if you're ever going to have purpose, you must first have an encounter with the Lord. Before I move on, have you had an encounter with God? Have you been saved by the grace of God? Has your life been influenced by the power of the gospel? How many of you can throw your hand up and say, praise the Lord, mine has? Guess what? You're living in purpose now, right? So he brought purpose to him, but notice what Jeremiah's response was in verse number 6. He said, then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Here's what he was saying. In other words, God said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I have ordained you, I have sanctified you, I've ordained you to a prophet unto the nations. And Jeremiah said, I don't think you got this right. I don't think you're talking to me. I think you got mixed up. Maybe you're talking about somebody else, because I can't speak and I'm but just a child, or basically he was a young person. Well, how many of you glad it doesn't matter how old you are, God can still use your life? And what a foolish statement to sit back and say, I'm too young, or I'm too old, or I'm too this, or I'm too that. May I remind you that with God, all things are still possible in our life? Amen? You still have purpose. And you know what he did? He said, wait a minute. I think you got this wrong, God. But notice what the Lord told him. Look at verse number 7. The Bible said, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child. You know what he told him? Shut up. Just shut up. You have no idea what you're talking about. He said, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. In other words, I'm taking you there. If you'll let me, I'll take you there. How many of you are glad God will take you there if you let Him? He goes on and he says, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. He said, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. I'm going to stop right there. And I want to preach on this thought today if I can, because I believe if you'll go with me for a little bit, hopefully you'll get something out of it. But how many of you know you done raised your hand, you're saved, you know you got purpose, right? But how many of you would agree with me, along with myself, as oftentimes we have insecurities, just like Jeremiah did? God's trying to tell him he's got purpose, but you know what Jeremiah's saying? He's starting to give God excuses of why he can't, because of what he thinks about himself. Has anybody ever been guilty of that? There ain't no doubt, Brother Edwin, that I get up every day that I know that I have purpose because I have been born again by the grace of God. But my greatest enemy is not knowing that. I know that. My greatest enemy is myself. My greatest enemy is the fact that Satan is trying to lie to me and say that, oh no, wait a minute, yeah, you may have purpose, but. Boy, has the devil ever told you some, here we go, has the devil ever, I'm going to get it there, I'm going to say it here in a minute. Has the devil ever butted into your life at times? And you've had some insecurities, saying, God, I can't. That's what he told him. God said, this is who you are. This is what you're going to do. He said, No, you got this wrong, God. God said, shut up. Basically, shut up. In other words, God, this is going to be good if I can get it out. Don't say what you just said. Because I done said something you need to hear. Oh yeah, I brought my old amen with me today. Don't say what you're saying because you're believing what you're saying. And what you're believing ain't what I said. I'm going to keep saying till you get it. Because you're hearing what you're saying and you're not focused on what I said. But if you'll focus on what I said, quit saying what you said, you'll fulfill your purpose that I placed into your life. So here's what I want to ask you. You know you got purpose, but why are you living in insecurity? Why are you living your life saying things that ain't so? And keeping yourself from fulfilling God's purpose for your life. I'm going to preach on the thought this morning with the help of the Lord. Y'all want any more of this? I hope so. Because it's helped me. Because I don't care how long I've been in ministry. I don't care how long I preached. I struggle with some insecurities in my life. I struggle not being smart enough, not knowing enough, not being able to present it well enough. I can't even talk right, y'all. Can y'all tell that? I mean, I mess up English. That wasn't, if y'all don't know this by now, that was not my greatest subject in high school. But I am proof. Are you hearing me? I am proof in spite of my insecurities. And in spite of what I have, God, I feel good about this. In spite of what I have told myself often, I'm living proof that God can still use somebody. Yeah. Let me tell you how I know God can use you. You're sitting in that chair this morning. Let me tell you how I know God can use you. God's done give us a way of saying that He will if we'll trust Him. You just need to get in it and believe it. Praise God. Walk in it and let God just use your life. Amen. Insecurities. What do? Here we go. Overcoming our insecurities to serve God. Being an overcomer, all right? Overcoming those insecurities in our life when we're telling ourselves things we shouldn't be telling ourselves. When Satan's telling us things that we know is a lie, but yet we're believing it. How many of you believe the lies of the devil often, right? So how are we going to get through and get victory and overcome the insecurities that we face every day, but still fulfill our God-given purpose? Well, I'm going to give you three reminders that Jeremiah, listen to me, that Jeremiah was reminded by God in the scriptures to get him to a place that didn't matter how many times the insecurity came in his life, that he was able to continue to fulfill God's purpose in his life. Number one, I want to show you first of all, is I notice this now. First of all, Jeremiah had to be reminded, listen now, how many of you know there's a chapter one in Jeremiah's life? Chapter 1, Jeremiah, we just read, right? So there was a starting point in Jeremiah's life. I'm going somewhere. There was a start. How many of you would agree with me? Just nod at me. Do something. Just wave or breathe for God's sake. Let me know. There's a starting point right here in Jeremiah's life. Would you not agree with that? In his relationship with God, right? God came to him. The Lord came to him. His starting point. How many of you know every one of us have a starting point with Jesus, right? First thing I want you to notice, the first reminder was that Jeremiah had to constantly remind himself, according to this text, was that God had formed him. God informed him. Now look at what he says in verse number 5. First part of verse number 5. Are you there? Say amen. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, he said, I knew thee. Now how many of you would agree with me that that's a big deal? He said, I formed thee. It's not that your mother and your daddy came together and conceived you. He said, I had a part in bringing you into this world. He said, I formed you. How many of you know Adam was formed in the Garden of Eden? By the mighty hand of God, right? We know that he was formed, listen now, from the dirt. But God's formed us out of the womb. Just like God, just like God had his hand on Adam to form him, guess what? He had his hand on you and I when he formed us before we ever realized it. Now let me ask you something. If God wasn't interested in you fulfilling your God-given purpose, would he have ever laid a hand on you? I think he's pretty interested in getting us where he wants us in spite of our insecurities, right? So he had to know that God had formed him. He said right before Jeremiah even says, do you realize who you have, Lord? Do you realize who you've got? Thank God. I keep preaching down here, but I'm gonna get up in the balcony here in a minute. I'm looking up there now, all right? Amen, Brother Norman. He said, before I formed you, he said, listen now, this is what I like, thee in the belly, I like that I knew thee. See, you don't know everything about me. I don't know everything about you. Just what I'm around you, I know, and oftentimes how many of you know that when we're around others, we're not really the real one that we're supposed to be. Or we portray to be. But Jeremiah had to be reminded that God formed him even though God would know all the insecurities in his life. All the times he would tell himself lies. I'm going to prove it. Chapter number 20. Give me chapter number 20 up here. If you can, I think, if you can get over there. I want to see, y'all don't have to turn there. If you do, if you want to, look at verse number 7. We're going to read some verses. Now, I don't know if you know this, but there's a chapter 20 in Jeremiah's life to where we're going to read it. For sake of time, I'm just going to tell you what's happening, what's going on. But in chapter number 20, verse number 7 through 14, I believe it is, Jeremiah gets to a point to where he says, I'm done. I can't do this no more. It's too hard. It's too difficult. How many of you have found out if you're really living for God, it gets difficult at times? It's easy to do it here at church. It's easy for me to be the associate pastor here at church. It's easy for me to do that. But it's hard for me to really get out in the world oftentimes and take a stand for the cause of Christ. It's easy to preach behind the pulpit here. But when you go preaching out there the gospel to those that don't want to hear, how many of you know sometimes it is difficult? And if you're not careful and I'm not careful, what we'll do, we'll get like Jeremiah. I just quit. I hang it up. I put it in neutral. I just live life and just go on living life and not even be concerned about what God wants in my life because I can't take this anymore. Jeremiah, look at what he did. Bible said in verse 7, we are going to read it. O Lord, thou hast deceived me and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. So I've been made fun of. All I'm trying to do was live out chapter 1 in my life. Look at the next one. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried for violence and spoil because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. He said, this is happening. Look at number 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak anymore in his name, but his word was in my heart as a... He said, I'm going as far as not to even mention your name anymore. How many of you know that would be a bad place to get to? Have you ever done that before? Get to blaming God, saying, I'm not going to serve you. This serving God stuff ain't panning out like I thought it was. So he gets to that place, and then all of a sudden he remembers the word that was in his heart. Where did he get that word from? Chapter 1. He had a word in... Are y'all with me? He said, a word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary and forbearing, and I could not stop. He said, man, he said, I've quit. I'm not going to mention God's name. And then he said, man, I can't get away from that chapter number one that he put in my heart. So what happened was he went right back and said, I'm in it. I'm in the fight again. How many of you find yourself like that oftentimes? Roller coaster. I'm going to serve you, God. No, I ain't serving you. Not today. I'm done. I quit. This stuff's too difficult. I'm tired of being cussed out. Then all of a sudden, no. Praise God. I know you give me purpose. I'm going to get back in the game again. Are y'all with me? Now, that's not the end of it. You keep reading, and guess what? He goes right back into a depressed state. Right in the same chapter, number 20. I'm not going to read it for a second time. You can go home and read it. But in chapter number 20, he goes, I'm serving God. Living purpose. I'm done. I resign. I quit. I'm walking away. I can't! Because God's word's in my heart like a fire. In chapter 1, only to go, man, he goes on and, but look at, give me four. I got to read it. I'm sorry. Just hang on with me. I'll get there. I can't help it. It's like a word. Fire, that fire in my, give me verse number, let's see here. 14 is where I'm going, yeah. No, back up, 13. 12. 10. No, give me, what's the last verse? Is that 14? Oh, here we go. Yeah, I'll read that one. We'll move on. Sorry. Cursed be the day, here we go, where I was born. And what did God just tell him in chapter 1 of his life? I formed you. I have formed you. Before you were ever born, he said, I have formed you in the belly. And he said, I knew thee. So how do I keep living in purpose, knowing that God wants me to glorify him, but yet I have insecurities often? Because how many of you would agree that when God said this to Jeremiah in chapter 1, God knew the chapter 20 of his life. He knew the chapter 20 of his life. Did that hinder him from saying what he said in chapter 1 of his life and doing what he did in chapter 1 of his life, although he'd have chapter 20 coming down the road? How many of you glad? I wish y'all somebody to help me right here. How many of you glad that you can still fulfill your God-given purpose in spite of the chapter 20s of your life? No! There's been a chapter 1. That God started. So if you know that, you know God formed you, then why in the world, listen now, why in the world do we allow our insecurities to hinder us knowing that God formed us in the beginning? Will you get back to the chapter 1 of your life instead of living in the chapter 20? Amen? Jeremiah, he had to be reminded that God formed him. Not only he had to be reminded that God formed him, but he had to be reminded that God fixed him. I'm going somewhere with this. How many of you feel like you stayed, how many of you in your heart feel like you jacked up all the time? Instead of running like a smooth engine, how many of you feel like you got a rod knocking? Right? That's what most of us feel like. But the Bible says here, he said, he told, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, he said, I formed thee in the belly, verse 5, he said, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, he said, I sanctified thee. And he said, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah didn't know the process of sanctification yet. God was telling him that sanctified means this, to set apart, to live a life holy. In other words, he said, I have sanctified thee in the womb. In other words, I've already fixed you to live a life for me. Is anybody saved? Come on. Are y'all saved this morning? You know you're saved? You know you've trusted Christ? The Bible said you're sanctified. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, there's a long list. We talked about it in Sunday school a few weeks ago. Long list of those that are lost and what we used to do before we got saved. I'm talking about a bad list. I'm talking about adultery, fornication, all those things that you and I were in at one time before we came to Christ. And then the Bible says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. Not being washed, you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified. Declared righteous. Are y'all with me? So here we see Jeremiah had to be reminded that God had already fixed him. He just needed to walk forward in knowing that God had already fixed him, even though he would still be broken. Let me tell you how powerful the gospel's been in your life and my life. He fixed us. He changed us. I told somebody the other day, I was talking to somebody, I said, hey, there's proof there's a God. They said, how do you know that? My life's different. I don't see the same I used to see. I don't hear the same I used to hear. I mean, I'm loving people I did not used to love. But even though Satan oftentimes comes and bombards me with the insecurity saying, you're not this and you're not that and you won't be this and you won't do that. Hey, I got news for that devil. He's a liar, always has been. I'm going to tell him I'm sanctified. I'm justified. I'm washed by the blood of the Lamb. And thank God nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Not only Jeremiah had to be reminded that God had formed him, but Jeremiah had to be reminded that God had fixed him. Oh, listen to me now. I'm not working to be saved. I'm not trying to be better. No, my betterness comes out of what God did. Back here at 21 years old, when I knelt down and gave God my heart and God moved into my life, wiped me clean, thank God, set my feet upon a solid rock. I'm living out where I what God has done, not what I'm trying to do. If you'll ever live out, this is good stuff right here. I don't care if I am preaching it. If you'll ever live out of what God has done, guess what? You'll be able to do. He said, you got to realize I fixed some things already, Jeremiah. You're not a broken vessel as you think you are. Are y'all with me? You're not a broken vessel as you think you are. You're sanctified. I like it. You're sanctified. He said, you're ordained. He said, I've appointed you to be a prophet. In other words, what I start, if I start it, I'm the only one that can finish it. And the only way I'm going to finish it is that you do what I started. And if you do what I started, then guess what you can take to the bank? I'll finish it. How many of you glad? Thank God he has started a good work in us and we'll perform it. Amen. So Jeremiah, he's reminded that God formed him. He's reminded that God fixed him. Now I want to ask you this question. I'm going to move on. What do we say about ourselves? Or what we say about, here we go, what we say about ourselves. Y'all remember that Jeremiah said, he said, wait a minute, that's not what I am. That's what he said. God said, all right, you're sanctified. He said, I'm ordained you as a prophet. And then Jeremiah says, I can't speak. You know what a prophet does? They speak. They declare, right? I can't speak. And yeah, by the way, God, did you not know? I'm not old enough really to be like a real big prophet. How many of you remember a man or a young man named David that brought giants down, right? So he's not interested in age, but yet, here's what he said. He told him, he said, hush, don't say that you're a child. Don't say what you say about yourself. You say what I've said about yourself. You know why we can't fulfill our purpose? Because of our insecurities. We won't even walk in what God's already said about us. You want more so it can get fixed. God's already said a whole lot of things about you. You just ain't picked them up yet. And if you'll pick them up, praise God, he'll pick you up with them. Amen. Thank God for that. Think about it. I want to ask this question. Then what are you saying? What are you saying about your own self that's keeping you from fulfilling God's purpose in your life? When are you going to just believe what God said? That he's already fixed you. He's already made you. Are you? How many of you were in the military? A handful of you in the military? Yeah. When you went in, Let me ask you something. When you said yes and you signed on the dotted line, was you already, what's the first one? A private? Is that what the first one is? Y'all gotta help me. Come on, we'll be here all day if y'all don't help me. What is that? A private? A private? In other words, when you signed up and it was sealed, guess what? You were a private, right? Had you even held up one of them guns in your hand yet? Have you even done the obstacle course yet? What'd they say? You're an army. You're a soldier. You're a private. You went in there saying, I'm a soldier. I'm a private. Yeah, but you ain't shot a gun yet. Don't matter. I got proof. I'm a soldier. Are you in me? I've got proof. God's already put me here. Hey, I'm a soldier in the Lord's army. Hey, the training's going to come. I'm going to get back to what I'm doing, but I belong to God. Amen? He's already told me some things. So I believe that instead of believing what I say about things, right? So we see that Jeremiah, he had to be reminded that God formed him. Jeremiah had to be reminded that God fixed him. Here we go. Jeremiah had to be reminded that God would fight for him. Look at verse number 8. The Bible said, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. How many of you are glad that we have a God that fights for us? He said, don't worry about it. You ain't going to have to fight. You're going to have some things, and it's going to be difficult. You're going to have some insecurities, and you're going to be challenged, and all these things are going to happen in your life. But listen, he said, listen, I got to remind you, I'm bringing deliverance. If deliverance is going to come, it's not going to be out of your ability or your know-how or your weapons or anything. It's going to be out of who I am. And thank God, I sure am glad in my, hey, there's been times in my insecurities. Listen to me now. In times in our insecurities, guess what happens? We get defeated, don't we? Don't feel like we have any strength. Here's what we say. If we could get past this insecurity, maybe we could. If we can get past this divorce, maybe I could. If we can get past my past of being abused or whatever your insecurity is, if I could get past that insecurity, then guess what? I could fulfill my purpose. How many of you know you can't get past it until God gets in it? You can't get past it. In other words, you're not going to wake up one day and say, whoop, hallelujah, I'm over that. It don't happen that way. I thought the Christian life, Brother Edwin, just happened that way. I thought one day I'd get up and not struggle with those things anymore. But I've learned a few things. I've learned that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I have learned if God be for me, who can be against me? And here's what I've learned I've had to do. I've had to admit my insecurities. Now I've had to ask God to get in it. And when God gets in it, and thank God, I can move on from it. Somebody say, man, how many of you are glad you got a God that's on your side fighting for you? We're going to have insecurities every day. Satan lying to us, that's lying to ourselves. But thank God, I sure am glad he'll never, 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 never leave us or forsake us. Amen. Somebody give God praise if you're glad you got a strong God that's walking with you. Amen. Think about this. Lastly, and I'm done. Caitlin, come on. I'm going to show you this. Well, think about it now. Insecurities. All of us have it. There's not a one of us today that don't have it. I don't care. You can tell yourself you're too old, or you tell yourself, well, I'm not as smart, or maybe I'm not as pretty as her, or I can't sing like her, I can't preach like him, or I can't serve like them, or I can't. You tear me up, Caitlin. She'd tell me that. She's trying to learn the piano, and I was trying to show her what I knew. Man, me and her butt heads a lot. I'm telling you, she's stubborn like her mama. But she's pretty like her mama, too. And I'd go out there and I'd say, Caitlin, she'd tell me, I just can't. She calls me Big Daddy. Some of y'all don't know this, but her real dad died when she was 4 years old, and when I came in her life, she calls me Big Daddy. I like it. She'd say, Big Daddy. She'd say, I can't. I can't. I mean, have you ever heard the expression, can't, never could? And I'd sit there and I'd think to myself, she just don't believe it. I'd get frustrated. And I'd say, well, go on then. I'm tired of messing with you. I mean, really, come on, perk it up, pick it up. Boy, I sure am glad God a lot of times don't treat us that way. I'm glad God hadn't treated her oftentimes like I've treated her. But how many of you would agree with me, because she finally one day believed that she could, she's been a blessing today out of what God did, right? Jeremiah, he had to understand that, and he had to remember that God had formed him all throughout his ministry. He had to remember also and go back in his chapter 20 to chapter 1 and saying, God has fixed me. I know I still got a lot of work for God to do, but God fixed me. God sanctified me. God set me apart. God called me. And then he goes on and he had to be reminded that God's going to fight for him. I don't care what kind of fight Satan may be beating you up left and right over something. It doesn't matter what it is. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. It doesn't matter what it is going on. He can break the chain. He can fight for you. But I like the last one. You go on down through there and the Bible says that he told Jeremiah. This is what he told him in verse number 9. He said, then the Lord put forth his hand. He touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. I thought about that and how I'm insecure oftentimes. I'll be honest with you, I'm my worst critic. I'm my worst enemy. But I want to fulfill God's purpose in my life. I really want to see people come to Christ. I really want to see God use me. And I want to see God get glory out of my life. I mean, oftentimes I spend so much time in my insecurities that really God's glory can't come out of my life because I'm so tied up. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? But God said, He said, I touched your mouth. He touched Jeremiah's mouth and he said, I'm going to put my words in your mouth. Now, if you know anything about your Bible, then you know that even the psalmist said in Psalm 119, I think it's 103, he talked about the word of God being like honey, sweeter than honey. Oftentimes, we try to get past our insecurities without God's word. We never hardly pick it up. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, I'm not trying to beat you up, I can't tell you how many times we clean in here, they clean in here, and there's Bibles everywhere. I'll just bring it. I feast on it while I'm in church. I'm going somewhere. Hang on. Y'all got time? We'll get there in a minute. People just don't matter. I mean, it's the Word of God. Oh, well, I've heard it time and time again. It don't mean much. I mean, I know it's supposed to mean something, but really? I mean, hey, we know the Word of God's good. How many of you know God's Word's good? Come on now. Right? Without the Word of God, you and I would not even be saved. Without the Word of God, our life wouldn't be changed. Without the Word of God, we wouldn't know that we have the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, living in us. Right? But he said, I'm going to put my words in your mouth. I thought about that, how that Jeremiah, listen now, how many of you know in chapter 20, he said it's in my heart like a fire. Right? God didn't just put it in his heart. He put it in his mouth. Now, how many of you have ever had anything sweet in your mouth? Come on now. Listen, I've been trying to lose weight, done lost, praise God, over almost 50 pounds. We've lost what? Probably 200 pounds as a family. Glory to God. I mean, seriously. But I'm going to tell you something. Them sweets come by 8, 9 o'clock. Shoot, bowl of cereal calling my name. Amen. With milk. Come on. And I put chocolate in it too. Amen. Chocolate syrup. Man, I dress it up. I can't help it. I mean, I get to craving it. I got to have something. Man, I put that in my mouth. Man, it tastes so good. Man, I'll take and I'll ingest that. And man, I'll get me another one. And I'm not talking about, y'all know when you get a bowl of cereal, a cereal bowl ain't like a regular bowl. Cereal bowl, biggest bowl you got in the pantry. Right? Bless God. We're going to eat cereal. We're going to eat half the box. If I could put the milk in the box, that's the way I'd eat cereal. What? I trust it. She said, amen. I would. I'd dump it in the box, man. But I thought about this. The Lord help me with this. Jeremiah said, I'm going to put my word in your mouth. But you're going to have to chew on it. And for it to work, you're going to have to digest it. If you don't digest it, it's not going to do what it was meant to do. How foolish would it be? Just go with me for a minute. How foolish would it be that if you took and was taking somebody out to eat and you said, here, I'm going to treat you good. I'm going to buy a meal tonight, and you get the best thing. I mean, the most expensive thing. It don't matter what it is. You get it off the menu, and you help yourself. Filet mignon, you want it? You got it. You want lobster to go with it, or some of them shrimp? Praise God. You got, hey, put it on there. Pile it on. Hey, I'm paying for it. Brother Josh, I sit down, and maybe somebody does that to me. I sit down, I order the biggest thing and the best thing on the menu, the most expensive thing. Filet mignon, glory to God. Amen, most tender meat you can get. I'm biting that, and I put it in my mouth, and I say, that's good stuff. And turn right around while you're sitting with me and go, and take me another bite. I don't know anybody to do that. Now, I will spit something out if it's got a bunch of gristle in it, right? Filet mignon don't now. I'm talking about it's top of the line, right? Ain't got the fat. Now, ribeye, I'll eat the fat and all. If you don't eat fat off a ribeye, you ain't born again. Can I get a witness? Come on. But most tender meat, there ain't no reason. There's no reason to spit it out because it's the most expensive. How many of you know protein is valuable in your life? Without protein, you're not going to live, right? Got to have protein, whether you're plant-based or whatever. You still got to get your protein, right? Build muscle. Because without muscle, guess what? You have no strength. But how foolish would it be? Somebody did that to me, I'd say, you done. You pay for your own meal. You gonna spit this out, you buying it yourself. But how often is God trying to take and feed us His Word? He does this Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Sunday morning Sunday school. How many of you believe God's feeding His Word here at Calvary Baptist Church? Oh yeah. And boy, we'll chew on it, we'll put it in and say, oh, that's good. That's good, Brother Robbie. That's good, Brother Scott. That's good. Brother Sheldon in the Sunday school class. That's good, man. That's good. We walk out of them doors and we go. I'll eat my filet mignon next Sunday. Woo! Give me another good bite. Come in here. Feed me, preacher. Yeah, oh, glory to God. Didn't we get a word today from God? Go out chewing on it. And walk out in the world and say, have you ever done that? Guilty. We won't even do that with a slice of cake. But yet the most important thing in our life is what you're holding in that in your hand. That God's saying, I want to feed you so you can live, walk, and do. How often are you finding yourself spitting out God's Word instead of enjoying it and taking it in so when you take it in, you can live it out? How many of you know that's why we do what we do here? If you come to get information, you're going to be disappointed in life because you're not going to fulfill God's purpose for your life. But if you take the Word and do the Word, how many of you, He's faithful to do it through you. I can't help it. Teresa's been doing some babysitting. Hayes, y'all know little Hayes up there. It's Jenny. Is he up there? I hadn't heard him this morning. Is he asleep? If you spend any time with him, he's a cute little old baby. He comes to the house, what, 3 days and 3 days a week? Teresa keeps him. And I have fun. It's a joy of my life to go on at lunch. I'll go to lunch and man, I'll wrestle with him. I'll play with him. I mean, I just have a wonderful time with him. We'll laugh. As soon as I walk in, I say, hey boy, and he'd be like, he just got that face. I mean, but not long ago, Teresa, she sits him up in a little chair thing on the counter there and he started eating solid food. He got off the milk. Or he's still kind of on the milk, but they're trying to, you know how that is with babies. He's trying to start solid food. Well, there's some things, man, he just don't like. She'll be over there, come on. Now, Hayes, come on, come on. Come on, eat your food. He'll be like. And about that time, he'll run out, boom, and he'll grab him some, man. He'll just go to eating and he'll take it. But there's sometimes he'll, ugh, ugh. And I don't blame him, some of that stuff, amen. I don't know what all they mix up in that. But you know what? Even though he spits it out, God help me. Even though he spits it out, Teresa still say, come on, Come on, take another bite. Because it's good for you. You may not like it right now, but it's good for you because you don't see what's coming, but if you don't get off the milk and get on some meat, the Bible talks about that. Milk's good for the body, right? Or for the bones, right? Meat's good for the muscles, the strength. Then you're not going to be able to make it. And if God's so concerned, if a mother or a father would be as much concerned about continually to feed its child, how much do you think God's concerned about you eating like you should? So preacher, how am I going to overcome my insecurities trying to serve God? Because God's called all of us to be an example, right? For the cause of Christ. And we know, we accept the fact that it's difficult out there. Alright? You're going to go to work tomorrow and guess what? They're not going to shout over you coming to church. They're not going to shout over you living for Jesus, right? That's why we do it here. That's why some of you need to get your shouting shoes on so to encourage the brother next to you or the sister next to you, right? But how you overcome your insecurities? You got to know God formed you. In your chapter 20, always believe chapter 1. God formed you. God made you. He's got a purpose. Hey, know this. God's fixed you. How many of you know you ain't what you ought to be, but you know you ain't what you used to be. God's fixed some things, right? But know this, every day, God said, I'm going to fight for you. That insecurity, that discouragement, that darkness, that depression, whatever it may be in your life, that insecurity you have, God said, get me involved in it. You'll see how strong I am. But oh, by the way, don't forget that every day, not just on Sunday and on Wednesday, every day I'm trying to feed you. And if you'll take it in, you'll never forget it. And you'll be able to walk in it. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. How insecure are you? Preacher, I can't. Yes, you can. Got a word from heaven. Got a word from God saying you can. And I believe it'll be a good time as we stand here in just a moment is to step out of your seat, come down with all of your insecurities and say, God, I'm going to fulfill your purpose in my life because I'm thankful you formed me. I'm thankful that you fixed me. I'm thankful, thank God, you do fight for me. And I'm thankful that in spite of me spitting out your word time and time again, you still want to feed my soul. So will you take it this morning as she begins maybe to sing something, whatever. Everybody stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. How many of you right now, while she sings, you'll step out of the aisle, come down here and get with God. Say, Lord, thank you in spite of all my insecurities. Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to spit your word out. I'm sorry for time and time again not realizing how good you've been to feed me. Not realizing how good you've been to fight for me. Not realizing how good you've been to fix me. Not realizing how good you've been over the fact you formed me and you made me and you created me. How about it this morning? Some are already on the altar. Why don't you come? We got time. We'll be done in just a moment, would you? Bring your insecurity to Jesus. Preacher, I'm having a hard time living out my purpose. I'm having a hard time living out. I know what I'm supposed to do, but yet I find myself over and over and over telling myself something other than what God said. Come down here and get with God and say, God, help me to trust in what you've said about who I am. Come on. Yes, he has. He's been
the greatest friend
we've ever had. Come on, don't stay in your seat. Come find your place somewhere. Get with the Lord this morning. If you don't have any insecurities, then by all means, come find you a spot. Pray for somebody that you know that's struggling. Come on. Boy, he's been good. He's been faithful. She's going to continue to play. Head still bowed, eyes closed. How many of you would be honest with me this morning, honest with the preacher and say, Brother Scott, a while ago when you talked about being saved, I know I'm saved. There ain't no doubt in my heart. I know I belong to the Lord. I know that God has started a work in my life. I know that I have encountered, I've had an encounter with God. And I know today, if I walk out of this building, I know where I'm spending eternity. I have no fear of dying without God because I know that I'm in Christ. How many of you would raise your hand and say, "Preacher, that's me. I know that I know that I know that I'm saved and ain't ashamed of it." Hands raised all over the building. Thank you. Thank you very much. You can put them down. Somebody here might not be able to do that. This is your time right now. This is for you. Maybe you don't know. It doesn't matter how old you are. Maybe you're a young person. Maybe you're older. Maybe you're middle-aged. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you come on. You were born on. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you know that you know that when you die, you're going to heaven. And I wonder, maybe you couldn't raise your hand. You say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm just not sure I'm saved. I have no idea that if I died today where I'd spend eternity." I could not say with the rest of those that raised their hand that I knew that if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I'd like for you to pray for me. Would there be anybody in here? Just slip your hand up. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. Say, "I just don't know, preacher. I have no idea that if I died today where I'd spend eternity." Amen. Thank you. I see that hand. "I have no idea, preacher, that if I died where I'd go." I have no idea. Be honest. I don't have any peace in my soul. I have no idea what would take place. Truth is, I know that I'm lost. There ain't no doubt. Anybody else? Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. Now, I'm going to pray for you. But here's what I want you to do right now. Right here at your seat, you can be saved. I'm going to encourage you here in just a little bit to make a public profession. If you do get saved, walk the aisle and come down here. And I promise you, we will rejoice with you in what God's done. But you can be saved right there at your seat. If you'll do something like this, if you'll tell God something like this in your heart, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being a sinner." No doubt. Listen, no doubt we know we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible said. Nobody had to tell me that. I knew. That I had fallen short of God's glory, and you do too. Maybe you've lied. Maybe you've done something you know you shouldn't have. If you'll tell God something like this with all your heart, the Bible said, "With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness." With a confession, amen. With a confession, you'll be saved. Now listen now. With your heart, something like this, say, "Lord Jesus, I'm sorry." In your heart, "I'm sorry for being a sinner. The best I know how, I'm asking you to come into my heart and save me. Dear Jesus, thank you for saving me." If you'll say that, maybe you said it now, or dear, why I pray, if you'll do that with all your heart, God said He'd save you. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that you'll touch these. Lord, thank you for all the ones that did raise their hand, that they were saved. I rejoice in that, and we'll thank you for it. But Lord, these that raised their hand, God, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, if they had enough faith to raise their hand, they got enough faith to be born again. And I pray right now, Lord, right now, God, that they'll receive you into their heart. Make that belief of the heart, Lord, out of the confession of their mouth, to confess you as Lord and Savior. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, you'll give them a surety to call on you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you said that prayer and you meant it with all your heart, God just saved you. I wonder right now, would you say, "Preacher, I just asked the Lord to save me. I'm not ashamed. I know I did exactly what you said do. I believe that Jesus died for me, that He rose again the third day, that He's given me everlasting life. I just called on Him, asked Him to forgive me, and I know I did exactly what you said, and I did it with all my heart. Preacher, that was me." How many of you might throw your hand up and say, "I did that, and I believed it with all my heart. Would you let me rejoice with you?" "Preacher, I did that in a minute with all my heart, no doubt. I just prayed and received Christ." Anybody? Anybody? Glad Chris rededicated his life back to the Lord. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I like that song she sings. He has. Yes, he has. And when you have, you can testify, God has in your life. Amen. Somebody give God praise if you're glad you came to church today.